Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Shout out to Tolo Trey Evans and his daughter. He tweeted, "My daughter Mila is watching the show this morning on YouTube. She wants to know why it's just called Sean and RJ and they don't include the other guy." And I said, just listen long enough, you'll find out why. Find out. It's just our two names on the show.
Uh-huh. Hang around, listen to me talk about Caitlin Clark.
What was the catchiest name that someone came up with for the three of us?
The Yahoos.
The Yahoos.
Jerry, right?
Okay.
I mean, that's perfect. You could just play that drop of Jerry as the very opening every day. You could just go, "You Yahoos," and then jump into it. But
I disagree with the Dallas Cowboys being underdogs to the Carolina Panthers. We'll see if RJ feels strongly enough to bet on it with his degenerate selections coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. But I think Bobby Belt agrees with Vegas. Let's go inside the film room. You are in the commercial-free expressway with a Matt Rife ticket giveaway coming up momentarily.
Yeah, this is not, I was not anticipating when I started watching Carolina, I was not anticipating that I was going to watch them and think, there are more than a few players that I would take off of this team right now. Jonathan Mingo would not have been one of them, but there were others there that I definitely would have taken. So last year, remember, we talked a lot about Bryce Young was, I can't remember if he actually did break the record, but he was getting sacked at such a ridiculous rate that they were talking about he was getting close to he could break the record for most sacks in a season. So the thing that stood out to me the most was when I turned it on, I was thinking, all right, let's see how bad this offensive line is that's caused so many problems for Carolina. It's not a bad offensive line. It's a pretty good one. This is not going to be one where Mike is just going to have free run and be able to, you know, tee off every single time. They've got couple different tackles there. Taylor Moten, the right tackle. They got Ikem Ekwonu, the left tackle. And both of them are really, really impressive.
What's going on with you?
I was just, he said Icky, and I was like, just looked up like I heard that name before.
Oh.
Yeah, not Ikem Woods, Ikem Ekwonu. Yeah. But the tackles are really, really good here. And even on the interior, they are a really good run blocking group. And their pass protection is really strong on the left side. They've got a new center in there, Cade Mays. He's been in the last five games after Austin Corbett.
Go Vols.
Yes, after Austin Corbett had gotten season-ending surgery. The guy who's most been hurt by that is their right guard, Robert Hunt. That's the most vulnerable spot on the offensive line. If you want to just send Micah there through the, you know, the B gap and try to, you know, basically bully Robert Hunt, you should be able to have some success with that because he's really struggling since their center went out. I think he leaned on him a lot and used him to kind of cover over some of his deficiencies because poor balance, plays with a lot of power, but he's slow-footed. So in pass protection, he gets blown by a lot. Run game, a little better because he's just playing on the interior with some power. But not very good footwork. But this is a good offensive line and one that is doing their best to help Bryce Young out a little bit.
Brought us his notes. Going to play with a condensed formation. We'll see bunch formations, tight splits, movement from wide receiver, play action with crossing routes and receiver delays. We'll try and pick off defenders in man coverage, mix misdirection with pop passes to wideouts behind the line. Tompkins, wide receiver, is the guy there. We'll use Hubbard, Choppy's guy, from running back to wide receiver in empty formations.
Yeah, and it's far from perfect with Bryce Young right now. I mean, I know we've been talking about Bryce Young's been playing really well. Like, if you go look at it, he's still completing like 55% of his passes the last few weeks. But that's why I think you got to remember, A, Xavier Legette was dropping about 12 of those. And so that's part of the problem. But when you watch, he's really genuinely improved, and he's given himself a shot to actually salvage his career.
Yeah, he's playing to about a 5 right now, but before he's playing to about a 1.
I don't even know that it's a 5.
Like, maybe
a
4?
I think he's a 6 or a 7. It's just it's not clean all the time, and there's still some development stuff there. But the biggest area where, all right, I was trying to figure out what's different. Is it just confidence or what's changed? The biggest difference is what McCarthy talked about, which is the pressure in his face. He's gotten really good at being able to handle pressure.
Broadus said he will throw the ball up for grabs if he gets in trouble.
More so earlier in the season, not nearly as often now, not the last 3 weeks. So when you watch him in the pocket, last year heading into the game against Dallas, and then some of the stuff earlier this year, he would panic. And it was bizarre because he was never that guy at Alabama. He was the guy who'd always extend plays, throw off platform, have a lot of different success. He was kind of panicking. He'd get interceptions from throwing the ball up. He would take sacks, really bad sacks. He'd be too timid to run. I don't know what clicked for him, if it's just Adam Thielen coming back into the lineup from injury the last 3 weeks, and so he feels he's got a comfort target that he can throw to. But if you want to talk about all the different ways that you're supposed to handle pressure, so the first one, they ask you to stand in there, take a hit, make the throw, or take the hit, that you got to be able to have the guts to stand in there and know you're going to get crushed. He had a play against Kansas City where I don't think he makes that throw a year ago, where he sees Chris Jones at 6'6", 290, barreling at him. Probably more than that, actually. And he stands in there knowing, all right, I'm going to get crushed. And he throws the ball, delivers a strike, picks up the first down, and does get absolutely crushed for it. You see a couple different times. We saw the viral play against Philly where he extended the play, threw down the field. But he's gotten really good at just kind of sliding in the pocket, not breaking, not panicking, but playing with urgency. And then the other thing that he's done in the last couple weeks, he's got most of their 10-yard runs over the last 3 weeks. I think he's got 4 out of their 6, and they're all just from standing in the pocket, trying to extend the play as long as he can, and then going, all right, I'm going. I'm getting upfield, and I'm going, and I'm making the decision, and we're going to go this route. And he's had a lot of different success with that. So I think he can hurt Dallas pretty bad. Like, the way Dallas plays defense and how the way that he's playing offense right now, that is a quarterback who could really cause serious problems for them.
An 81.2 quarterback rating with 7 touchdown passes and 4 picks since returning as the starter. Inside the film room with Bobby Roberto Belt on Carolina, who now is a 3-point favorite.
I think all of their...
Seems very high.
I know.
Yeah, I'm not betting the game, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't get the line. I really don't. And I get it. One team is a starter and one team is a backup. And now we're, what, 4 games into Cooper as playing? It's four full games?
Yeah.
Generally, you have an idea of what a player is after 4 games. But it just seems like they played Cincinnati, a good team, better quarterback than Bryce.
Yeah.
But they played there. They were tied. They should have won that game.
I don't get it either.
I mean, money puck on that game would have been about 58% Dallas.
Hey, you can cut off RJ's money.
That's the thing is that you can make an argument they should have won their last 3 games against the Chiefs, Buccaneers, and Eagles. Those are playoff teams.
Yeah.
And so I think that.
And Hubbard against the Eagles forced a career high 10 missed tackles.
Wow.
He's forced 48 missed tackles this year, and Broadus said, watch out for him on the edge.
Hubbard is really good. And they just paid him. They got him his extension. He's somebody who I'm a little fearful that all the progress that's been made in the run defense, this offensive line that Carolina has and the way that Hubbard runs the ball and the way that he is so patient and watching things develop in front of him and then, you know, making the right decision, making the right cut.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that you could see some, this game could present you some early season Cowboys run defense.
That's Canales.
Solid. It's definitely something where he leans into letting Bryce Young be Bryce Young, more so than Frank Reich was or anybody else that was in Carolina last year. But they try to do some different things, pushing the ball downfield, and it's not been good. In fact, this is an insane stat. Adam Thielen's basically only played 5 games this year because he got hurt early on in the year. They throw a ton of go routes. They'll throw a ton of balls down the field, go patterns. Receivers on the roster right now not named Adam Thielen. The Panthers are 4-for-28 on those throws for 78 yards, a touchdown, and a pick.
Ugh.
Adam Thielen.
It's like throwing deep to Turpin down the sideline.
Adam Thielen is 4-for-5 for 102 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
In fact, on the route tree, the 9 routes that are on the route tree, Carolina quarterbacks have a 100 pass rating or higher on 5 of those routes when thrown to Thielen this year. Thielen is playing really, really well, and he's fighting his ass off. They've got a good connection. You can tell he's here mentoring Bryce Young and trying to be somebody that he can lean on. Friend of the show. Great interview. Out of Super Bowl a couple years ago. But offensively, they're going to challenge Dallas in a lot of different ways. It's going to be tough for Dallas to contain the run. Bryce Young's going to extend plays. Bryce Young's going to be able to hit Adam Thielen. I just don't know that Dallas' defense is going to be able to consistently enough slow down what Carolina's wanting to do on offense right now. Defensive side of the ball is awful. Brian thinks they're worse than the Bengals. I don't know that they're that bad, but they're close. They're definitely close. I'll give them a benefit that I really like their defensive coordinator.
They're allowing 30 this year. They're last in the NFL in points allowed. The Cowboys are right in front of them at 28. What do you think the over-under is, Choppy?
46.5.
It's 43.5.
Oh,
I thought it'd be even...
Maybe I am.
Ooh, an aggressive buzz right there.
Maybe I am betting.
Pepe.
I love schematic.
Little parlay.
Think so.
Cowboys with the points and take the over.
I love their defensive coordinator. He's going to put them, they've got awful personnel. He's going to put them in the best position that he can. Ajero Averro, he's their defensive coordinator. He's going to be a head coach in the NFL in the next 3 years.
Not with this defense.
Not with this defense specifically.
Why do you love him? What's the tie? What's the wink wink behind the scenes?
There's no wink. He's had a lot of
talk to you in Indy.
No. He's had that. I mean, that he, you will hear his name come up a lot. He is from the family of, it's a defensive side, but he's from all this Shanahan McVay coaching tree angle that people have been getting hired off of, even defensively lately.
And so when I think Shanahan and McVay, I think defensive coach.
I mean, okay. I mean, you laugh about it, but Sala, D'Amico Ryans, who just got hired off of Raheem Morris. Those defensive coaches, the Rams defensive coordinator is going to get hired probably in the next couple of years. They are good defensive teams. And that's the thing that they're building. Averro's a guy who has been in Denver. He's been in L.A. He's been some different places. And he's somebody who's this... The league wants him as a head coach. They think he's really bright and that he's going to be a shining example. And I'll give him credit. This is a defense that should be giving up probably 2 more touchdowns per game than they do with as bad as their personnel is. Their best player on defense that I saw might be Xavier Woods. He might genuinely be the best player on their defense.
There's the tie-in.
What's the tie-in?
Xavier Woods.
That's not a compliment. Xavier Woods and Mike Jackson... The corner they drafted in the 5th round and then cut. Those two guys are playing significant reps for Carolina on defense. They can't get pressure.
Don't you have to go legally change your name to Mike?
Yeah, you can't go Michael.
Yeah, you can't be Michael. He was
like
Michael
Jerry Sandusky, the Ravens radio guy. I think it's with a G.
Yeah, he had to at least change the first letter. Yeah,
but I would
that.
Be like, just call me Gary.
Yes.
Call me Gary Sandusky.
Gary. I would just change the last name too. Just screw it.
They blitz a ton and they still don't get sacks. They have the worst pressure rate in the NFL despite blitzing at a top 10 rate. They just don't generate pressure. They're bad.
These broadest rushing defense notes, I mean, I might have to be betting on Rico individually. Holy mackerel.
I would feel better about Dallas in this game if I trusted that they're going to consistently lean on Rico. There have been too many times, even when Rico's played well, that they get away from the run game.
McCarthy did apologize for that in his presser the other day. He's like, he was explaining the hash marks, and he's like, I messed up the hash. I should have caught a run on second down when we were talking about those three straight pass plays after Rico was ripping it up. And he's like, that was my big play call regret, not running on that second down.
And look, you're going to be able to run on Carolina all day. There's some, you mentioned numbers. I'm curious if Brian has these ones in here. This is funny. 31st in the NFL in run stuff rate at 10.6%, which means stops behind the line of scrimmage. They're 31st in the NFL. You know who's 32nd?
The Dallas Cowboys.
The over-under, I'll place a bet on this. Chuba's over-under for rush yards is 80.
Woo!
EPA per rush. Carolina's 31st in the NFL. You know who's 32nd?
The Dallas Cowboys.
As bad as that Carolina run defense is, Dallas is almost across the board in run stats just behind Carolina this year. They've improved. They've played better. So obviously there's some nuance there. But I just think this is going to be a really difficult game for Dallas to slow down Hubbard, slow down Bryce Young. And I don't trust that they're going to consistently run the ball enough against this defense.
Is J.C. Horn still a stud?
So J.C. Horn's dealt with a lot of different injuries. He just popped up on the injury report this week, actually. He plays well. There are times where he's had trouble in the red zone. He gives up contested catches. He's got a little bit of Cheeto to him. The like, just turn your head, dude. You're in position, and you're not there to actually make the play on the ball. And J.C. Horn's had to deal with a little bit of that. But he's a good player. Teams pick on Mike Jackson a lot.
Jamone.
I thought he played better than Brian did. Brian was saying yesterday that he thought that was the guy that was the worst in their secondary. I think he's played better. I think it's just he's getting volume targets, but I think he's held his own for the most part. I don't trust them enough to run the ball consistently. Not that the opportunity will be there. I just don't trust them to commit to it enough to actually be able to close some of these gaps.
Inside the film room with Bobby Roberto Belt, we will make official picks in the five things RJ wants to see at 8 o'clock on your Home of America's team. Shout out to my boy Jake, who's on his way to a Maryland Coach of the Year nomination held by the Baltimore Ravens. Back-to-back state champs.
Look at that.
Back-to-back state champs. Lost his stud quarterback son to Vanderbilt. Still won the state championship.
He played quarterback there.
In high school?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for like his senior year.
But he was recruited as a tight end.
Yep.
Wow.
Wide receiver, tight end. Now I need your coaching connections to get him hired here. It's time to elevate.
Man, there'll be some openings, I think.
A little college coaching.
Well, maybe some NFL coaching too.
All right, let's hook you up for the final time this week with an awesome giveaway. Then we'll hit the junk drawer.